try to encourage us tonight and give us a better understanding of who God is. The Bible says this in verse number 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory in the inheritance in of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power." Father, I love You. I thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You, God, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, You give us to be in the house of God tonight. Thank You, God, Lord, to be able to stand, Lord, and share Your word, God, Lord, with this Your people, Lord, Your children. God, if there's one here tonight that's lost and don't know You, I pray that the word of God, Lord, may enlighten in them, Lord God, to the knowledge of God and their need of a Savior. Lord, we love You, and Father, we thank You tonight for all that You've done for us. Be with those that are sick. Lord, continue to touch Brother Jack and Miss Gay. Be with them. Help them, Lord, I pray. God, I pray You be with me. Vivian, Lord, continue to heal her body. Lord, we pray that, God, that You'd be with those, God, that's having problems tonight. Lord, I pray for them. I pray that You'd strengthen them and help them to get their problems solved. Lord, we just ask You tonight, the Lord, just to touch and, Father, bless. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. Now, let me say this. Come back to what I said about sometimes the ox gets in a ditch, okay? But when you throw your ox in a ditch on Wednesday, that's a difference, all right? When you push him off in the hole so you can dig him out, that's a different story. Uh-huh. We are to make a living by the sweat of our brow. The man ought to work, all right? The Bible says that. But the fact of the matter is, when we push him into the ditch and make ourselves work on Wednesday, there's a difference in him falling in the ditch and us having to get him out. So anyway, I didn't, if somebody was watching on Facebook and they wasn't here tonight, and I didn't want to think that I was belittling them or berating them because of comments that I had made. I understand that sometimes it's your ox gets in a ditch, and sometimes you're sick and you don't feel like it. You just don't feel like it. And so, but let's go back and let's get back to the book of Ephesians tonight. Now notice this in verse number 18. We talked about the personal call or the persons of the call last week. We talked about the caller and being God and the called being us, and then the different callings that He puts upon our life. And then tonight I want us to see in verse number 18 that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, that was last week, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now let's look at this. The first thing I want to look at tonight is this, is I want us to look at the prosperity of His inheritance. Now notice this tonight, and if you have your Bibles there, look, it says this, the riches of the glory of His inheritance. Notice this tonight. If you look in your Bible in verse number 11, it says we have obtained an inheritance. Whose inheritance is that? That's ours, right? You see that we? All right. Then if you look in verse number 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. You see that? That is our inheritance. But now let's look in verse number 18. Whose inheritance is it? It's His. You ever thought about that? How many times have you read that and read it through so fast that you didn't realize that God had an inheritance that was coming to Him? You ever seen that? The Bible says this, remember we're talking about God, we're not talking about the Lord Jesus right here. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 17, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, that your eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, which is God, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Do you realize that God the Father's inheritance is the saints? Is that not what the Bible says there? Now you understand this, we are the bride of Christ, and that the church is the bride of Christ. Now, y'all young people, I know that you will sometimes get kind of disengaged with all this, but I want you to understand that if you've been saved by the grace of God, that you are part of the bride of Christ. No matter your age, whether you're young or whether you're old, we are the bride of Christ, And we are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And we're not talking about our inheritance here. We're not even talking about Christ's inheritance here. We're talking about God's inheritance here. Now we know this. We know that if we could say this, and we could say that as the children of Israel could be is or a type of the bride of God, because remember, the children of Israel is the apple of God's eye, okay? They're the one that He loved. Remember, He talked about them, how that He loved them, and how that they went off and played the harlot, and how that He took them back. You read there, what is the book of Hosea? Man, what better book? Did you see the picture there of the nation of Israel and also the church both? But we see tonight that God's inheritance is the saints. You see that? That's what the Bible says. The riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Well, what is it about us that He would make Him want to inherit us? Well, the word inheritance means this: the reception of an estate by hereditary right, or the descent by which an estate or title is cast on the heir. You do realize tonight that God has a hereditary right to you and I. You realize tonight, and we're going to look at that in just a moment. Listen, go back to Ephesians 1, verse number 5. Look at this. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. That's why we can say that God is our Father. Remember, we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, wherefore we cry, Abba, Father. Understand, it was by Jesus Christ that we were adopted into the family of God. Now, and I'm going to get a little deeper here in just a moment in the glory of His riches, but understand this, and so you can think about this just for a moment, that the God of heaven, from whose face the heavens and the earth fleet away, from Him who spoke the seas into this world into existence, who holds the sea in its bound, who knows every star, who is named every star, who knows every hair that is numbered. And understand, you go back and you read that and you study that out about the hair being numbered. You say, "Oh, preacher, you don't have many to number." No, there's not many there for me to number, but at one time they were numbered. And what that means, it doesn't mean that there was counted. What that means is that every individual hair in your head has a number, and God knows which number hair falls out when it falls out. Go back and study it out. Think about that just for a moment. And I'll be honest with you, I must serve a big God, because you walk around my house living with three young ladies who have long hair, and a lot of it comes out. And to think about how big God is, and that He has chosen me to be part of His inheritance. That He looks forward to me being part of His inheritance. That He's excited and He's anticipating me coming to heaven to spend eternity with Him, and that I am part of His inheritance. You ever thought about that? I hadn't. But Paul is saying this. He's saying, I'm asking and I'm praying for you, church, that God may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Turn to Matthew chapter number 13. Let's look at this. We're talking about the rightful inheritance here. Matthew chapter number 13. Look in verse number 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Read this again. Verse 45, I'm sorry. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Who bought it? Well, let's look at first. Let's break this down just for a moment. You see the preciousness in verse 46? What did he find? A pearl of great price. A precious pearl. The preciousness of this. Now notice this. And when he had found one pearl of great price, what did he do? He went and sold all that he had. There was a procedure that took place. It was a thought out procedure. Remember, Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But think about this. The pearl of great price is the church. Think about this. You are the pearl of great price. So often we get so caught up in the vastness of the church and how big the body of Christ is that we forget that we are the body of Christ and there is no big members and no little members. Understand this, the Bible says this, there's neither male nor female, there's neither bond nor free in Christ Jesus. We're all one. And think about this tonight, that the God of heaven looked down and seen you as a precious pearl of great price, and he went put forth a procedure to procure that pearl. What did he do? Well, we know this, that we've not been redeemed with corrupt things such as silver and gold, which received from the vain conversation and traditions of your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemishing. Or Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Not only there, the preciousness of the pearl, he went and sold all that he had, he gave up all that he had. Why? To purchase it. What did he do? He bought it. You see, God has a right to inherit you and I because he purchased us. And we are part of God's inheritance. And I'm honest with you, I'm not preaching something that I have always known. I never knew this till last week. I never knew. I always thought that I was an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. But I didn't realize that I was part of God's inheritance. That God was anticipating and looking forward to inheriting me. I mean, think about it. Think that God is wanting to inherit you? Of all the things in the world that God could have? And he's excited about inheriting you? But it is. And that's what Paul is saying. He says if we would get to know God he said, I'm wanting you to understand him and I'm wanting to understand your position in him so that you may know him. How many of you tonight knew that you was an inheritance of God? Anybody? Me? I didn't either. That's what the Bible says, is it not? We're his inheritance. All right, now think about this. Well, let's go back here. And I don't really know how to tie this in, but we talked about the rightful of the inheritance, but let's talk about the riches of his glory. Does anybody remember over there in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6, when Isaiah found himself there in the temple? And he says, and I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Y'all remember that over there in Isaiah? And Isaiah said, woe is me, for I'm a man undone of unclean lips. If you want to turn, you can. It's on page. I'm going to read some things to you just about the glory of God tonight. To page 718 in your Scofield Bible. Chapter 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Would you say that Isaiah got to see some of the glory of God? What about Revelation chapter number 4? Let's go to Revelation chapter number 4. And I'm going somewhere. We're talking about the riches of his glory. in the inheritance of the saints. Now understand this. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1. Here's John the Revelator there on the Isle of Patmos. And look here in verse number 4. And here is the rapture of the church, because the first three, if I understand this, the first three books or chapters of the book of Revelation is dealing there with the seven churches. But here we come here, and notice what he says. And after this I looked up, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. There's your rapture, okay? The church is fixing to be called out of here, all right? Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now think about this. This is not Jesus, okay? Because we'll find, if you go on and read, and I don't have a whole lot of time to deal with this, as you go on and read over on down in this, and if the Lord allows, I'll be there. But if not, understand this. I want you to understand that this is God on the throne, because the Bible says that no man was worthy to approach the throne. And then it goes on to say, and he says, weep not. And he says, I beheld, and lo, the Lamb, as it had been slain, and it came and took the book out of him that was on the throne. In verse chapter 2, chapter 5, verse number 6. So how can one that is on the throne get up and take something from him that is on the throne? He can't. This is not Christ on the throne. This is God. Now notice this. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now, how many of you have seen the beauty and the splendor and the glory of a rainbow? We seen one, what was it, Sunday night going home. And we seen the whole part of it, the whole arc. You know, sometimes you just get to see one side. The other night going home, or I believe it was Sunday night, we got to see the whole thing. Man, and what a beautiful sight that it was. I mean, what a glorious sight that it was. And now notice here, he says, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. They had on their head crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were seven lamps of burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Think about this. You've got the rainbow and all of these beautiful colors, and then all of a sudden you've got these noises, as the sound, the Bible says, it's the sound of voice of many waters, and you have lightnings and thunders coming out of this throne. Do you not think that's a glorious sight? The Bible says this, talking about the riches of His glory. And I'm going somewhere in just a moment, okay? But understand this. Go to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's about 750, 748, something like that. 747. Let's read in verse number 6, or let's verse number 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is as grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up on the high mountain, O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Let me go on down, look in verse number 12, verse number 11. Well, I just go back to 10. I'm sorry. I get in my mind, I need to speed up. And I say, well, I'll skip this. But then I look back and I think, well, I can't skip it. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and whom he instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. As you read on down, he says, have you not known, verse 21, have not heard, have it not been told you from the beginning, have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. As you get and you begin reading, look in verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding? He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases strength. You say, what does all that have to do? Well, according to the book of Isaiah there, it has to do with the glory of God. As you begin to read that and you begin to understand it, the power that God has. The power that God is distributing and that God is demonstrating in this passage of Scripture, and how that God is magnifying Himself of who He is and the power that He's got. And to understand this, the Bible says this, we're going by, that we are an inheritance in the saints, that He wants us to understand the inheritance of that we are His inheritance, and that He wants us to understand the riches of His glory. Now think about this. How many stars are there in the heavens? Does anybody know? Have you ever tried to count them? Have you ever tried to look up into the heavens and just take that much of a space and count the stars in that much of the space that you look through? I mean, man, sometimes I have a hard time finding Orion, you know, and the North Star and this and that, and I have a hard time. But yet the God of heaven knows every star by name. Think about that just for a moment. The hairs, each individual of all of our hairs are numbered. Not just ours, but every human being. He knows the weight of the dust of the earth, the Bible says. He says he gathers it up and he knows the measure of it. And we're talking about the glory of God for just a moment here. And you say, what does all of that have to do with us understanding who we are? Because understand this, that God that is so great and so marvelous and so big loves you and I so much that He is anticipating the day that He can inherit me and you. Does that not encourage you? To think that somebody so glorious as God loves you and thinks so much of you that He thinks that you was a pearl of great price, that He thought that you was valuable enough to give all that He had for you, just so that one day He could spend eternity with you. Have you ever thought about that, about God? See, so often in our lives we think about God being just and God being righteous, and God is just and God is righteous and God is holy and God is a God of judgment, and we understand all of that, and we know, as Dr. Williams was relating there to the tribulation, that is the judgment of God upon this earth for the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But understand the flip side of that coin is this, is that the God of heaven loves you, and the God of heaven is full of glory, and His glory is so great that our minds can't even comprehend it. And Paul is saying, I want you to understand and be enlightened to the riches of His glory. Now I got a question for you. And Miss Debbie former pastor, or current pastor, she's going with us, but I think they're still members at Concord, and we understand all that. But Brother Sammy used to, I know she's probably heard this saying, I've heard it. He would say this. He'd say, it'd do you good just to get in the glory about once a month. About once a month. He said, take care of all your problems. Am I right? I got a question for you. Have you ever been in the glory? Have you ever been in the glory? The riches of His glory, is that, if we're going to use this, is that Greek to you? Have you ever got to be in the glory of God? We talked about the riches of His glory. We must understand this, that go to Matthew chapter number 17. Matthew 17. It's known as the Mount of Transfiguration. Look in verse number 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into the high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment as white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Now, what happened there? Well, we know that Jesus was transfigured. All it was, you say, it wasn't really, Jesus wasn't transfigured. He was just glorified. It was all that was in Him. He wasn't transfigured into nothing. Understand that. It's called the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus was God. He was 100% God. He's 100% man. All this was on that mountain that day when Moses and Elijah came down to speak to Him. All that was on the inside came out to the outside. Okay? But now let's look here what happened on that day. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 16. Just bear with me. I'm going somewhere. I know I keep telling you that, but I want you to hang on. I am taking you somewhere with this. Page 1317 in your Schofield Bible. Second Peter chapter 1, verse number 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Verse number 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitness of His majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. You see there, the glory of God there appeared to Peter and James and John. Now, you say, well, what do you mean, have you been in the presence of the glory of God? Well, if the disciples had found themselves in the presence of the glory of God, all right? Do you recall anybody else in the Word of God who had found themselves in the glory of God? How about Moses? Anybody remember that? If you have your Bibles, turn to Moses chapter 33, verse number 18. What did I say? Moses? Exodus chapter 33, verse number 18. At least y'all paying attention. Amen. It ought to be Moses' book. He wrote it. It's about him. Exodus 33:18. Look at this. Now think about this before I read this verse to you. Moses had just brought the children of Israel across the Red Sea. He had watched God send the plagues in on the Egyptians. Okay? He had seen the firstborn and the blood keep the firstborn of the children of Israel alive. Are you listening to me? He had seen all the magnificent powers of God. He was seeing the fire, pillar of fire leading them by night and the cloud by day. He was seeing all the manifested works of God. But when he came down off the mount, and all that was going on, this is what he's saying. He says, Lord, I need more. He didn't say, Lord, show me more miracles. Are you listening to me? He didn't say, Lord, show me more of your mighty works. Lord, hurt my enemies more. He said, Lord, I need to see you. See, our pastor had it right when he said, if you get in the glory once a month, it'd do you good. Because we'll see that when Moses got in the glory of God there on the mount that day, it changed his whole perspective about life. Notice here what he says in verse number 18 of chapter 33. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, God, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Verse number 6 of 34. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. And then he goes on saying things. Now, understand this. For 40 days Moses was on the mountain with God, all alone. Number one thing I want you to understand about the riches of God's glory. You'll feel fine if you'll go back to the disciples there. The Bible said that Jesus called them apart. You say, what do you mean? If you want to see the glory of God and the riches of God's glory in your life, it's going to be when you get alone with God. It's not going to be in the always. It's not going to be in the church house. It's not going to be when there's a group around. It's going to be when you get alone with God. The problem is that today Christians don't want the glory of God in their lives. Number one reason Christians don't want the glory of God in their lives because it marks them. You say, what do you mean it marks them? Well, let's look here. Verse number 29 of chapter number 34. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh.
to him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them the commandment, all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. Point number one, there's one thing I want you to understand about the glory of God. Number one, the glory of God is real. But number two, the glory of God is revealing. You don't have to tell people that you've been alone with God. You don't have to tell people that you've been in the riches of God's glory. Why do you think Moses' face shone that man couldn't look about it? We read over there about the throne. Remember, I read you there in Isaiah, and I read you there in Revelation for a specific reason. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And he said, I saw all these seraphs flying around crying out to him, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Full of glory. Or holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. Revelation chapter number 4, we describe all of the beauty upon the throne there. And when Moses came off the mountain of God, he had been in the glory of God and experienced the riches of God's glory. And when he walked off, his face shone with the glory of God. You'll never find that Moses ever asked again, Lord, let me see your glory. And then I'll think about this just for a moment. What about Paul? Anybody remember Paul? Over there where he says, I knew a man, whether in the body or not, I cannot tell. He said, I knew a man above 14 years ago. He said he was caught up into the third heaven, and he said it, same things that were too lawful for me to utter. And think about this. If John got to see it, and I made this statement before in this church, if John got to see it and write about it, what did Paul get to see? But he was alone. And you say, what are you saying, preacher? Today we're facing a famine in our churches and in our Christians' lives of the riches of God's glory, because we do not understand what the real glory of God is. Anybody remember Ichabod? Remember what that was? Remember Hophni and Phinehas? His wife was sitting there, and word came back that Hophni and Phinehas was slain, and one of them had a child. Eli fell over backwards dead off the wall. That priest was found sitting again. Okay? And she had that child, and she named him Ichabod because she said the glory has departed. What do you mean the glory had departed? What was it? The glory of the king had departed? No. The glory of the army had departed? No. The glory of God had departed. Because remember this, where was it that the Shekinah glory of God met with man? On the ark. Where was that ark? Inside the holiest of holies. You see, we could look at it this way. This part of the church is the outer court. Up there on the stage is the holiest of holies. Up there on the stage is where the glory of God is, and where one experiences the riches of God's glory. How many people got to go in to see the riches of God's glory when the ark and the tabernacle was here? One man. One man got to go in and see it. The priest. But guess what? My Bible tells me that I've been made a priest unto God. And John said this. He said, and I saw in heaven a door. Because understand this, the throne room in heaven is a type of the mercy seat on earth, and the mercy seat on earth is a type of the throne room in heaven. Are you following me? And John said, I'm going back here to the door. John said, I looked up and I saw a door. And he says, I looked in. Okay? I looked in the door. And beyond the door, there was a voice crying, saying what? Come up hither. Come up hither. Come up hither. Come up hither. There was an invitation to come to the throne room to see the riches of God's glory. But the problem is, nobody wants to come. We're content, because understand this, let's go back to Moses just for a moment. Who knew more about the law than Moses? Anybody besides God? So we could say this of, I mean, he wrote five books of the New Testament. He wrote the Pentateuch. So we could say this, that Moses probably had the best knowledge of Scripture of anybody on earth. Is that correct? We could probably say this, that Moses got to see more miracles than anybody on earth. Could we say that would be correct? We could probably say that Moses served God better than anybody on earth other than Jesus Christ. Could we say that and be correct? But what the Scriptures couldn't do for Moses, what the service couldn't do for Moses, and what all of the magnificent miracles couldn't do for Moses, when Moses got to behold the riches of God's glory, he came down off that mountain and his face shone, and he was able to lead a bunch of rebellious people to a land that they didn't want to go to. Now I got a question for you. You say, how does that all that tie into us? Well, remember, we're God's inheritance. The riches of the glory of His inheritance. Mr. Ray, if it can be that good on this earth, if it can be that good on this earth, what's it going to be like when He inherits us? Think about that just for a moment. If being in His presence here on this earth . What's it going to be like when we get to heaven? My question is this. Have you ever been in the glory? Have you ever got along with God and you've said, God, I just want to know You. God, I just want to be with You. God, I just want to see You. Lord, I want to understand the riches of Your glory. It'd take care of your problems. It did Moses. I mean, I thought about this, what God took and, I mean, and I'm closing. Moses had to write all them tablets of stone back. Think about that just for a moment. God took his finger and wrote it. But then Moses, when he got mad, when he came off the mountain, and he throwed them down and they broke. God said, all right, I've done it for you the first time, but you're going to have to do it this time. I'd hate to know I had to write them with a pen, much less with whatever it was and engrave them and chisel them into a rock. You know how he could do it? Because he's seen the glory of God. And let me say this, the glory of God will get your mind off of you and get your mind off everybody else and get it on God. Because when we get to heaven, you know what it's all going to be about? Him. Him. The riches of His glory. I wonder what riches we're missing. I wonder what we're missing down here. Because we won't get into the glory. Lord, I love You. Thank You for this day. Thank You, God, for Your privilege, Lord, to share Your Word tonight. Lord, I'm thankful, God, that I'm, Lord, part of Your inheritance. Lord, I don't know why You would consider me of any value, but Lord, You did. And Lord, I'm thankful. And Lord, I anticipate the day that, God, that when I get to be with You in all of Your glory, and God, I get to experience in Your glory, God, till its fullest extent. And Lord, I praise You, Lord, that You, Lord, allowed us, Lord, tonight to take Your Word and, God, to preach it and, God, to teach it and, Lord, to bring it out, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for what You've shown us. Help us, Lord, I pray, God, to get in the glory. God, just to find You, Lord. I praise You, Lord, and I thank You again for all that You've done. In Jesus' name I humbly pray.